We are in Studio City, California. Would this be considered the Valley?
Yes, San Fernando Valley.
San Fernando Valley. And we're enjoying the cordial hospitality of Alice Frost, who has a beautiful backyard patio, and you may be able to hear in the background a natural waterfall, or an unnatural waterfall.
Natural. Well, sort of natural.
It's a
natural.
Lovely waterfall, and we have great greenery all around, and a charming lady to talk with. She was Ruth Wayne, Big Sister, on radio for quite a while, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. For about 5 years. And
where did that start?
And, that started in New York, and as a matter of fact, I think some lady who had been writing Beatrice Fairfax, and it was going to be kind of an advice to the lovelorn, but it just didn't turn out that way. And so she wanted to do it herself, and after she made an audition record, she decided it was not for her. So Martin Gable and I did it for 5 years. And then I went on to do Mr. and Mrs. North.
That's right. You were Pam North.
10 years.
10 years. Opposite Joseph Curtin was.
That's right.
Jerry North.
Yes. He was just here the other day. I had lunch with him last Monday.
Oh, and we missed him.
He was here, yes. He was here with his wife to see his two children. He has two daughters out here. And
he's from the East, though, now, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes. Uh-huh. He lives in Boston now.
Uh-huh.
And He misses the theater and everything a lot, but I guess once you sort of get out of it, it's pretty hard to get to.
What is he doing now?
Well, he's in insurance.
Oh, I see.
His whole family, and he can play golf whenever he wants to, and sell insurance at the same time.
You are really one of the, I think we could say, one of the first ladies of radio. Where did your radio career begin, Alice Frost?
Golly. It started way back when. I went to New York to be in the theater, and I got a couple jobs in the theater, but then while I was waiting for it, I began, they said, come on and audition for some radio programs. So I did, and I started to work in radio, and I just loved it, as we all did, because it was such not only fun, but you had a chance to, I'm sure everybody has told you the same thing, you have a chance to do a great many things that you can't do in the theater.
Did you start with a variety of small parts on radio, or did you move into a major role?
I was very fortunate. Uh-huh. That's my dog that you hear. I was very fortunate in that in auditioning, and I've always been a character woman from the time I was little, I guess, and so that I could do different characters. So that way I began to work and worked right along. I worked with Bob Benchley, and I did comedy. I was a comedian with Walter O'Keefe. I don't know whether you probably don't. You're too young to remember.
We know Walter O'Keefe.
Do you know Walter?
I don't know him, but I know of him.
And it was the Glenn Gray's orchestra at that time. And we did comedy routines, and I did a cigarette girl in the beginning called Camilla, and with a New York accent. And but I loved doing both the comedy things. And
did you work with Stupnagel and Bud for a while?
Yes, I worked with Stoop and Bud for 2 years.
What did you do with that?
And all kinds of crazy things. As a matter of fact, I used to do some crazy singing, because I started out thinking I was going to sing, and when I came to New York, I realized that it's different when you study voice and try to sing that way than to come in and sell a song. So I decided I was not ready to sell a song, but I did use it a great deal, and I remember one one crazy song we had called Murder on Honk Street, I Love You. And Harry Von Zell was the announcer. Oh, and I was just thinking about it the other day because Max Baer's son has just been producing.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell him what a nice man his father was. I did a program with him when he was training in New Jersey, and he was such a awfully nice person. And apparently, he and his father had a great rapport. Mm-hmm. So.
I found the note someplace that said you were involved in a radio show called Mrs. Wiggs of the Cabbage Patch.
Yes.
Now, my goodness, what kind of a show was that?
Well, it was a dramatization of the park. You think I ought to bring the dog out here? She'll stop barking then.
Come out, sure.
Come on, Shara. Come here. Come on, baby. Come on.
This really is a lovely garden here. As Alice Frost goes to get the dog out of the house, it's a beautiful place. It's secluded. It's at the end of a lovely street here in Studio City. And there's the dog. Hi, you want to say a few words to our listening audience?
She thinks she's people, and she gets so annoyed if I leave her out of any gathering.
Well, we want to include her in on this.
She's just spoiled rotten, that's all. Oh, dear,
oh, no. That's the little ones, huh?
Mm-hmm. But... yes, we did Mrs. Wiggs, which was a lot of fun. I did that with Betty Gard, who played Mrs. Wiggs, and I played Miss Hazy, and that was great fun.
These were all happening out in New York.
These were all out of New York. Uh-huh. I used to go from, and most of us did. We'd go from one studio to the other. This was before I had a regular show, because then it was. They didn't always like to have you do it. All depended on the sponsor. I couldn't work for another soap sponsor, you see, at that time when I was doing Big Sister. And but otherwise, we went from one show to the other. And we'd do a program in the evening, in evening clothes. We always dressed. And they were all done in theaters. And then...
was this in theaters? In
theaters.
Rockefeller Center in there, or
well,
outside
not,
of that?
Oh, outside, mm-hmm. over on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
Some of the theaters had been turned over to radio because, Jack Benny did his... he had his studio up in Rockefeller Center, mm-hmm. but many of the other ones were out, had theaters. And of course, they all had big audiences. And at that time, I don't know whether you know, I was with Orson Welles.
You were in the Mercury Theater.
I was in the Mercury Theater, and then we also did Mercury Theater of the Air. So I did a great many things with him.
Well, we have to ask the inevitable question now.
Were you? Excuse me, am I talking too much?
No, not at all. That's why we're here. Were you involved with the Mercury Theater on the air at around that time of the Great War of the Worlds?
I was there, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on the broadcast because they didn't have any women on that broadcast. They may have had some extras, but there weren't any women parts on that particular thing. But that was during the time when we were broadcasting.
It made quite an impact on...
God. Did it ever. The next day, all the papers were headlines, and they never dreamed that it was going to do anything like that.
It's become a classic. Well, I believe, had something to do with a major Mercury Theater production of
Victor Hugo. Shoemaker's Holiday and Julius Caesar.
Uh-huh.
That was their first one in the Mercury Theater.
Mm-hmm.
He was with, they were doing a welfare project before. He did a thing called Horse Eats Hat. But when we started the Mercury Theater, then Julius Caesar was the first one. And I played Portia and in Julius Caesar. That was the wife of... I didn't open it He had, there was another girl, and he sent her on the road. So after 5 weeks, I went in. And then we did both Julius Caesar. We, you know, switched off and did Shoemaker's Holiday, which was a big hit. And, but after that, and we were, I was rehearsing with something else that was going to open on a Sunday night. It was, and then he got all this big contract to come out here, and everything went to pot in New York, and he came out here.
And what did you do then?
Well, I went on. I went into Mr. and Mrs. North, and I was still doing. I was still doing Big Sister at that time.
Now, how did you get the role of Ruth Wayne as Big Sister? In Big Sister.
Well, as I said, it was I just auditioned for it.
Oh, just simple as that.
I just auditioned.
Thought you were
for
the
it.
Best. That's not so simple, really. But
I think I'm not sure whether it seemed to me I was involved in the very beginning, because the writer, as I said, she started. Mm-hmm. She kind of wanted to do this herself, and then she realized right away so that. I really did the first audition for it, and
there was a for radio in those days a kind of an unusual thing. There was a what today we would call a spin-off from Big Sister,
yes,
and it was a series called Bright Horizon. Didn't that some
yes,
of the characters that, from
yes,
Big Sister
the characters
move into
went
that?
On to do that,
and that that was running then concurrently with the. Big Sister, though not consecutively.
I'm not too familiar with what happened there. But we had some. Dorothy McGuire was our first little sister, and then Hala Stoddard came on and played my sister.
And Rinso was
Rinso.
R.
Rinso White. Yes.
Wasn't Jim Amici one of the announcers on the show for
yes.
a long time?
Yes, well, Jim Amici was announcing. No, Fred Utell was the announcer.
Oh, I see.
Jim Amici announced Aunt Jenny, which followed it, and I think maybe that's where some of it. I think he announced it part of the time, but it's. You know, when I start thinking about it, I think, I can't possibly.
You have to put it
through. Yes.
You stop and you think, and it's hard to get all the facts
yes.
together as
I
you reminisce
it.
A little bit. When the.
Did you see Betty Gard?
Have not had a chance to meet her yet.
Oh,
we might be able to.
Well, she did, as I said, she did Mrs. Wiggs. We had great fun together because the writer at that time, as a matter of fact, I think he's still living and writing somewhere out here, and he never finished a sentence. And you always picked up, you know, in the whole script, there was never a finished sentence. And we
and one would start and someone would interrupt and keep going that way. Does he still do that, possibly?
What?
He still does that?
Probably. I don't know. No, I think he's become a more serious writer now.
Was it a matter of auditioning again for the role of
I think you auditioned for everything. And then when Big Sister ended, or when Mr. and Mrs. North ended, I did Second Mrs. Burton.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a kind of a fun part because I was doing kind of a mean... A mean girl. They're always the most fun to do. They always have the best time.
They don't last as long. Though,
they always have the best dialogue usually, and the meatiest scenes to do.
Did you work for a while on the Buck Rogers series?
I don't really remember. I think I probably did a couple parts in the very beginning, but I did not do that. That was Adele Ronson who played the lead in that. And
you may have been involved in a couple of episodes.
There are so darn many people. I did a series of historical women.
Mm-hmm.
I was called them hysterical women.
Was that Women of Courage? Was
what?
That the series
no,
Women
that
of
wasn't
Courage?
The woman
was another
of Courage.
One.
But I was on Woman of Courage, too, for a while. And I replaced somebody who left town, and so. And but an awful lot of musical shows. Uh-huh. I worked with Ripley. As
Did
a matter of
you?
Fact, uh-huh. I had a cat at that time, and my cat got in the paper, and so. And
cat got in the paper.
Yes, this crazy cat we found out in Fire Island. This poor little kitty was sitting in the middle of one of the big restaurants. I don't know whether it's still there now. And everybody had been feeding it lobster and everything else. And this little cat sat there, and it looked so tired. And we took it home, and it turned out to be a great big cat eventually. His name was, we named him Henry, because we thought that was not like a cat. So, and he really was a crazy cat. I used to dress him up, and Ripley put him in the paper that he played the piano. And I used to pose him at the piano, and he'd bang sort of, you know, down. And, well, anyway, he made the papers.
Which later put in his basket, I suppose. Did you have a pretty good time in radio in New York?
Just a wonderful time. It was kind of, you know, it's really been a privilege. Now when you look back on it, it was such a kind of fun time, because we all sort of worked together, and we saw each other on some of the different shows, you know, one. We'd be playing one part on one show and another one on another. And I know on Big Sister, an awful lot of people who were in the theater were on it. You know, Lee, Joe Ferrer,
no,
almost all of people who were.
It was radio was a very convenient means, along with being in the theater,
to make a little money.
Work at night in the theater,
yes,
and during the day.
But not only that, because people were all young and getting started, and they needed money to keep going. And it was a much nicer way of making money than it would be to, you know, wait on tables, as some of them evidently did. And I know one of our first, one of the first things that I did was a little stock company with Garson Kanin and Martin Gable, Sammy Levine, and we did a thing called the News Parade. Charlie Martin would get the, he was the writer and director, and he would get the evening papers at 5 o'clock, and he would write these. He would write these, and we'd go on the air at 7, and they would all be news things. It was kind of a forerunner of the March of Time, I think, and with just this little stock company, and we would do all the, we would play all the parts. We never knew, half the time, we never got a rehearsal, and it was marvelous training. You know, you were just there, that's all, and they would mark your parts, and you would do it. And you would impersonate people or do, you know, impersonate Mae West or something.
Well, that's the mark of a good actor.
I know.
To be able to take something like that and go right into it,
yes,
you know.
Yes, I know. As a matter of fact, I did a program with Bob Crosby in which I did impersonations. And, I don't know, girl behind the drug counter or something, selling Roger and Gally. Should I mention anything? Roger and Gally soap. I never see it anymore, so I guess nobody's selling it.
If anybody can find it,
nobody's selling
it. Yes. For it.
and she would fall asleep and dream that she was somebody else. You know, that was what made it fun. And you hardly had time to think, and you didn't have time to get nervous.
Did your career continue out here then? Did you come from
yes.
New York to Hollywood, California?
Yes, as I say, I worked with the Mercury Theater, and then I did a number of other plays. Mm-hmm. I did quite a few plays in New York. And as a matter of fact, I was in The Bad Seed. That's where I met Miss Heckert.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And so And I was kind of getting back in the theater after being out for a while, and I was standing by for Nancy Kelly and mm-hmm. for Eileen. And then I finally played Nancy Kelly's part for about 7 weeks. And then I worked with Patricia Neal mm-hmm. in Room Full of Roses. And that was the last play I did in New York before I came out here. My husband came out first. And so we were kind of half planning, should we move or shouldn't we move out here? And then he died out here, and I decided I'd stay, because by that time I had almost more friends out here than I did in New York. And things were kind of, you know, radioed, really kind of really falling apart then.
Did you ever get involved in television? Did you do some things
in
TV?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
What did you do?
I played Inger Stevens' mama in The Farmer's Daughter. I played her Swedish mama.
On the series?
And on the series. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I still work in in television. And I've done a number of, you know, I've done quite a few pictures, and I still do television. Mm-hmm. And some commercials.
Uh-huh. Well, it's always nice to do a commercial,
huh?
Uh-huh. Well, you've had what sounds like a very interesting career and a nice life, and
well, it has been it has been interesting.
I thank you very much for your contribution to the good old radio shows. Because those of us who listened to them probably enjoyed them as much as or more than you did making them, and you did a nice job with it. And we thank you for those countless hours of good entertainment.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, Chuck, because, and I think it's nice that you're interested in, and you think there'll ever be a revival of any of, well, they're trying
well,
to have a revival.
A little bit, but it will never see radio on the scale, I don't think, that
no,
we had in the
40s. No, I don't think so either. Mm-hmm.
But any good radio is welcome, whether it's on a small scale or a large scale.
I think so.
Maybe we'll tune in the Mystery Theater on CBS some night and hear Alice Frost
maybe
in a mystery role or something like that.
Well, I think most of those come from New York, though.
Well, but I think they come out here once in a while.
Do
they? Do a couple of weeks of that. So. We'll send a fan letter to the producers and
say,
we'd like to hear I'd like to hear Mr. and Mrs. North again on the radio.
Would
or
you?
Big Sister, that might be fun.
Well, it's kind of fun. I don't know what they'd sound like now.
Thank you very much, Alice Frost.
Thank you, Chuck, very much.